For our study this morning, we come to Matthew chapter 19, the well-known encounter of Christ with little children who are brought to him. Matthew 19, we'll be reading verses 13 through 15. This will also be our text this morning. It's going to be found on page 824, page 824 in the Pew Bibles. Beloved, hear now with me the word of God. Then children were brought to him that he might lay hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Beloved people of God, called to be saints, if you were to scan the verses that precede our text this morning, you would notice something. You notice that our Lord is teaching about his love for children immediately following his love for marriage and then also for single people. And now he moves on to children. And this is no accident at all. Our Lord is very intentional in this. Children are the ordinary result of marriage, are they not? Now, let us be clear here. This does not mean that those who cannot conceive or those who struggle to conceive have less than perfect marriages or less than ideal marriages. This is not true at all. Let us remember these mothers and fathers in our prayers who desire to have children but struggle to or cannot. Let us remember that the God who comforted Rachel and Hannah of the Old Testament is the God who is our God this day. And so Jesus, he's drawn to those who are weak, who are feeble, who can't come to him by themselves. He's drawn to those who are helpless in and of themselves. And beloved, that will be our theme this morning as we consider this text. Jesus calls the weak, the feeble, and the helpless to come to him with childlike faith. The Lord Jesus calls the weak, the feeble, and the helpless to come to him with childlike faith. We'll see this under two headings or two points that flow directly from our text. First, let the little children come to me. And second, to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Let the little ones come to me. To such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And so as I stated, as we begin this morning, our Lord has moved from the value of marriage to the value of singleness, and now to the value of our precious little ones, the value of our covenant children. Look at verse 13, that first verse in our text with me. Then children were brought to him that he might lay hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked the people. As we begin, I want us to be clear on what a couple words mean. The Greek word that we have here for little children can indeed be used for any child who is of elementary age. But often it means infants or those who are completely unable to do anything for themselves, to go anywhere by themselves. They need to be brought places. They need to be cared for. And in fact, the word that we read here as brought refers to that exact action of bringing somebody somewhere that they cannot get to by themselves. It's a word that we've seen, that we could see where Jesus, people are brought to Jesus who are sick, who are lame. They have to be physically brought to Christ because they can't get to him on their own. They're sick, they're feeble, they're weak, they're helpless. They have to be carried to Christ. And clearly this can be said about our infants, our children. Infants depend on their parents in every single way. Feeding, the changing of soiled diapers. They need us for medical care, for getting even in and out of their cradle, in and out of their car seat. They can't do any of this for themselves. They can't get from one room to another. They depend completely, fully on their parents. Babies can't do a single thing for themselves. They rely fully on their parents. And so kids, I want us to hear this and to remember that this is not just about little tiny babies. Think about it. Imagine if tomorrow your mom and dad tell you they're going to go on a trip to Mexico. They're going to leave you and your siblings home by yourself. Your eyes lighten up. That sounds kind of fun, doesn't it? Mom and dad are going to be gone. Brothers and sisters and I, we can eat Doritos for breakfast. We can have ice cream for dinner. It's going to be a great time. But wait a minute. Doritos taste good only for so long, don't they? Do you know how to make mom's perfect pot roast? Do you know how much the electricity bill is? Can you pay the gas bill? I don't think so. Do you know how much medicine you need when you have the tummy ache or the headache? Which kind am I supposed to take? How much am I supposed to get? What are you going to do when the fridge is finally empty of food? No more ice cream, no more Doritos, no more Hot Pockets. We've got a problem. The truth is, without the care of mom and dad, maybe it sounds like fun for a moment, but it's going to end in disaster. You're quickly going to find out how helpless you really are. You don't need to just be a baby to understand this. But little ones, I trust that most of you already have this mindset by God's grace. You love your parents, you trust them. You depend on mom and dad, and that's a very, very good thing. You know that you can't get to sleep without hugs and kisses from mom and dad. You know you can't fall asleep without the lullaby that mom always sings you. You know that your tummy won't be filled unless mom and dad provide you 3 square meals a day. You know that the only way the lights stay on is because dad goes to work and brings home the money. You love, you trust your parents. You need your parents. And wise parents know that they must bring their parents, their children, to the Savior Jesus Christ. Whatever their age, they need to come to the arms of Jesus. Why did these parents in our text bring their little ones to the arms of Jesus Christ? What was their motivation? Why did they feel compelled to do this? Was it for a photo op? Was it so they could get that perfect Instagram or Facebook post that everybody would interact with and like? No, verse 13 reminds us once again that they were brought to him. Why? So that he might lay his hands on them and pray. You see, these are the signs of the grace, the mercy, the love, the peace that only Jesus can give. And so we are called to raise our little ones in the fear and knowledge of Jesus Christ. J.C. Ryle says this about our text. He says, "Let us learn from these verses that the Lord cares tenderly for souls of little children. It is probable that Satan specially hates them. It is probable and is certain that Jesus specially loves them. Young as they are not beneath his thoughts and attention." And he continues, he calls us, he said, "Let us draw from these verses encouragement to attempt great things in the religious instruction of our children. Let us begin at the earliest age to deal with them as having souls to be lost or saved. Let us strive to bring them to Christ. Let us make them acquainted with the Bible as soon as they can understand anything. Let us pray with them and pray for them and teach them to pray for themselves. We may rest assured that Jesus looks with pleasure on such endeavors and is ready to bless them. We may rest assured that such endeavors are not in vain." Beloved, bring your children to Jesus. Bring them to the font that they may receive that sign and seal of the covenant. Take the time to train them in the fear and knowledge of the Lord Christ. Train them up in the way that they should go. Attempt great things in the religious instruction of your children, as Ryle exhorts us. Because, congregation, bank account balances go up, bank account balances go down. Big houses are comfortable to live in. But our children only live with us for a few short years. and pursuing advancement in our careers, we utilize the gifts and the talents that God has given us. But beloved, and I speak especially to us as fathers, don't ignore or neglect the greatest and most precious gift that God has given you in your children. They're more valuable than any career or bank account. Children are a heritage from the Lord, as Psalm 127 reminds us. Don't squander that gift. Don't take the attitude of the disciples in verse 13. The disciples rebuked the people. Jesus doesn't have time for you. Away with you. Take those children away. But what does Jesus say? Verse 14, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Let them come to me. Don't get in their way. Children are not an inconvenience. Children are not self-sufficient. They can't be raised by the TV. They need us to raise them, knowing God's covenant sign and seal and why that was placed upon them at their birth. What that means for their lives. Our children belong to the Lord before they belong to us. Their presence demands our love. It demands our time, our efforts, our instruction, our hearts, our lives. Because God himself has placed them in our lives. He's done this that we may raise them in the fear and knowledge of our Savior. God's promise to bless Abraham and the rest of the patriarchs in Genesis, that promise that he said was to you and to your offspring forever, that promise that he said was to bless all the nations. Beloved, that promise has been fulfilled in Christ, this man, the one who embraced the little children. The one who blessed the weak, the feeble, the helpless. The one who alone can save, bless, care for the weak and the feeble. But beloved, this is not merely a call for us to be faithful to our baptismal vows. It certainly is. But this is also a call for us to recognize our own weakness, to recognize our own feebleness, to recognize our own helplessness. We too, with our children, are helpless, weak, and feeble before the Lord. Again, notice what the Lord says in verses 14 and 15. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. And then hear this, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. To such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Yes, Jesus loves the little children, but Jesus also loves those who come to him with a childlike faith. Those who come to him weak, those who come to him weary, those who come to him hungering, thirsting for righteousness, those who know, I can't help myself. I'm lost, left to myself. Those who know they cannot bridge that infinite gap between them and a holy God. Those sinners who can't face a holy God on their own. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who love, who trust in Jesus. They will receive the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. But beloved, that can be an abstract concept for us. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Why should we desire and want the kingdom of heaven? When our Lord uses those words, he's referring to all the blessings of salvation that can be found in him alone. We taste them now, even today, as we worship together. And we'll experience them in full at his second coming. And so this includes for us everything from the forgiveness of our sins to the growth that we experience in the Christian life, our sanctification. It includes the peace between God and man that only Christ can win and give by his blood. It refers to that receiving of that permanent dwelling place that we cannot wait to get to, that he's preparing for us even now as we speak, according to John 14, verse 3. For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. Again, does he mean that only children can receive the kingdom of heaven? No. In the Gospel of Matthew, if you begin to look back through it, turn the pages forward, turn the pages back, we see who the kingdom does not belong to. It doesn't belong to the unforgiving, see Matthew 18, 15 and following. It doesn't belong to the greedy, see Matthew 18, verses 21 and following. Not to the self-righteous, look right after our text, the rich young man. No, the kingdom does not belong to these. Beloved, the kingdom belongs to such as these little children, to those who come to Christ with that childlike faith, those who come to him in repentance and in humility, those who come to him helpless in and of themselves, those who come to him trusting that he will provide eternal blessing, trusting that he will provide forgiveness, trusting that he will create in them the new man, trusting that he will make them to dwell with God forever, trusting him for everything, just like an infant, just like a child. And so I ask you this morning, what does your heart look like when it comes to its relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you come to him self-assured, perhaps even a little bit smugly, taking his mercy for granted? Well, of course he loves me. Perhaps you're not so convinced of your own feebleness, your own helplessness, your own weakness. Or maybe you fall into the other ditch. No, I know that Christ is enough for the lost. I realize that, no doubt. But if you knew how corrupted I was inside, you would know that it couldn't possibly be enough for me. Well then, beloved, I would remind you of the beautiful words of the hymn, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy." These two verses. Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry, tell your better, you will never come at all. Come to him. Come to him in your weariness, in your brokenness, in your sinfulness, knowing that he alone can cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. Do you know your own weakness, the same weakness of a child at the font? Do you know your feebleness, the same as that child who lays upon your chest? Beloved, then repent and believe. Hear the words of Jesus as he says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Come to him, and he will lay his hands upon you. He will bless you. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father, indeed, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, cause us to come to you with that childlike faith, knowing that we depend upon you who give us all that we stand in need of. For not only in you do we move and have our being, but, O Lord, ultimately in you we can only find salvation. In you only can we find our solution for our weakness, our helplessness, our sinful nature. And so, Father, indeed, drive us to our knees in the knowledge of our sin, but, Lord, lift us up with joy and gratitude in the joy of our salvation. Restore to us that joy. For then we will teach sinners your ways, as the King David shouts. For we come to the world offering what we have been given in Jesus Christ, and that is the forgiveness of sins, life to him in the fullness, that we will inherit the kingdom of heaven and all of its benefits through him and his grace alone. Lord, we ask these things in his name only. Amen.